Good morning. Let's begin our service by singing hymn number 221. O Jesus, our dear Master, thy works, now understood, reveal their full effulgence through love and brotherhood. Today, Christ's precious science, thy healing power makes plain. With joy may all obey thee, and cast out sin and pain. Hymn number 221. The scriptural will be given by Betty from California.
Isaiah, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see, and thy heart shall fear and be enlarged. The Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy God thy glory. Matthew. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen.
We will now have a moment of silent prayer and follow with the repetition of the Lord's Prayer with its spiritual interpretation as given in the Christian Science textbook. Our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious.
Hallowed be thy name.
Adorable One.
Thy kingdom come.
Thy kingdom is come. Thou art ever present.
Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven.
Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme.
Give us this day our daily bread.
Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections.
And forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors.
And love is reflected in love.
And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
And God leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death.
For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever.
For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love over all and all. Let's now sing hymn number 333. The loving friend to all who bowed beneath life's weary load, from lips baptized in humble prayer, his consolations flowed. Hymn number 333.
Thank you.
Welcome to the Plainfield Christian Science Church Independent. This is our Sunday morning service, September 1, 2019. We begin each Sunday morning here at 10 a.m. with our roundtable discussion, which is kind of a training session for Christian scientists. And we had a really good one this morning on Christ Jesus. And if you missed it, you can find it on our website, plainfieldcs.com. You can also find it on our YouTube channel. We have a Sunday school for children every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. And that Sunday school has a teleconference number so that any child anywhere in the world can participate just by calling in. So if you have a child of Sunday school age, call us and we'll give you the number, and your child will be quite welcome at our Sunday school. Please join us every Wednesday evening at 8:15 for a testimony meeting where you can hear testimonies of healings and lives saved through the study and practice of Christian Science. And at all of our services, we have a nursery for all the infants and toddlers. You can find us not only here in Plainfield, New Jersey, but also on our website, plainfieldcs.com. You can find us on our YouTube channel and on SoundCloud, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. And I'd like to point out an article that's featured on the cover page of our website this morning, an article excerpt from an article by Mary Baker Eddy, and it's entitled The Way of Salvation. The title speaks for itself. I recommend it highly. Everyone is welcome here, and that includes all of you who are listening and participating from around the world. And now we will have the reading of a testimony from Science and Health, which attests to the healing power obtained just by reading this Christian Science textbook. And that reading will be given this morning by Shahidat from Maryland.
On page 634, Truth Makes Free. As a son of a physician, a graduate in pharmacy, and an ex-druggist, I had a perfect contempt for what I thought Christian Science to be. About 6.5 years ago, however, having exhausted all material means at my command, materia medica, electricity, gymnastics, cycling, and so on, and being in a hopeless state, the study of Christian Science was taken up. I had been a sufferer from cholera and sore throat for over 30 years, and in the last 5 were added several others, including dyspepsia and bronchitis, and a loss of flesh of 60 pounds. I was completely healed and regained health, strength, and flesh through the spiritual understanding of Christian Science, the result of about 6 weeks' study. This good and perfect gift came to me through the careful and prayerful study of Christian Science, as revealed to the world today through Science and Health. The promise of Christ Jesus, the truth shall make you free, was fulfilled, and the past 6 years of health and harmony have been spent in striving to hold fast that which is good. While I'm most grateful for the physical healing, my gratitude for the mental and spiritual regeneration is beyond expression. When I learned that Jesus' mission of healing sickness as well as sin did not end with his short stay upon the earth, but is practical in all ages, my joy was unbounded. Having spent thousands in the old way, it seemed wonderful to be healed at such small cost as the price of the little book and a few weeks' study. Every thought of prejudice immediately vanished before the proof that Christian Science is indeed the elucidation and practical application of Jesus' teachings, which are demonstrable truth, the same yesterday and today and forever. From CNC Memphis, Tennessee.
The lesson sermon for this morning can be found on page 18 of the Independent Christian Science Quarterly. Subject: Christ Jesus. Golden text is from Revelation. I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things in the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, and the bright and morning star. The responsive reading, Ephesians. God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us,
even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved.
And hath raised us up together, and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus.
That in the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus.
For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God.
Not of works, lest any man should boast.
For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Farrelly from Maryland will now read.
The Holy Bible, Isaiah. And there come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth. And he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. John. Jesus walked in the temple in Solomon's porch. Then came the Jews round about him and said unto him, How long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believest not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep, as I said unto you. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, Many good works have I showed you from my Father. For which of those works do ye stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, For a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because that thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Say ye of him whom the Father hath sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not the works of my Father, believe me not. But if I do, though ye believe not me, believe the works, that ye may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. Then said Jesus, I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but now ye seek to kill me, a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God. This did not Abraham. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. Your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, Thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Then took they up stones to cast at him, but Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. Luke. And there went great multitudes with him, and he turned and said unto them, If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first, and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it, lest haply, after he hath laid the foundation, and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, This man began to build, and was not able to finish. Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth not down first, and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000. Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple. In the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out loud with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, Hold thy peace, and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this! For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. Hebrews. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart.
Bruce will now read.
I will read correlative passages from the Christian Science textbook, Science and Health with Key to the Scriptures, by Mary Baker Eddy. Christ, the divine manifestation of God, which comes to the flesh to destroy incarnate error. The advent of Jesus of Nazareth marked the first century of the Christian era. But the Christ is without beginning of years or end of days. Throughout all generations, both before and after the Christian era, the Christ, as the spiritual idea, the reflection of God, has come with some measure of power and grace to all prepared to receive Christ's truth. Abraham, Jacob, Moses, and the prophets caught glorious glimpses of the Messiah, or Christ, which baptized these seers in the divine nature, the essence of love. The divine image, idea, or Christ was, is, and ever will be inseparable from the divine principle, God. Jesus referred to this unity of his spiritual identity thus: Before Abraham was, I am. I and my Father are one. My Father is greater than I. The one Spirit includes all identities. The invisible Christ was imperceptible to the so-called personal senses, whereas Jesus appeared as a bodily existence. This dual personality of the unseen and the seen, the spiritual and material, the eternal Christ and the corporeal Jesus manifest in flesh, continued until the Master's ascension, when the human material concept, or Jesus, disappeared, while the spiritual self, or Christ, continues to exist in the eternal order of divine science, taking away the sins of the world, as the Christ has always done, even before the human Jesus was incarnate to mortal eyes. Wearing in part a human form, that is, as it seemed to mortal view, being conceived by a human mother, Jesus was the mediator between spirit and the flesh, between truth and error, explaining and demonstrating the way of divine science. He became the way of salvation to all who accepted his word. From him, mortals may learn how to escape from evil. The real man, being linked by science to his Maker, mortals need only turn from sin and lose sight of mortal selfhood to find Christ, the real man, and his relation to God, and to recognize the divine sonship. Christ, truth, was demonstrated through Jesus to prove the power of spirit over the flesh, to show that truth is made manifest by its effects upon the human mind and body, healing sickness and destroying sin. Jesus uncovered and rebuked sin before he cast it out. Of the sick woman, he said that Satan had bound her. And to Peter he said, "Thou art an offense unto me." He came teaching and showing men how to destroy sin, sickness, and death. He said of the fruitless tree, "It is hewn down." It is believed by many that a certain magistrate who lived in the time of Jesus left this record. His rebuke is fearful. The strong language of our Master confirms this description. The only civil sentence which he had for error was, "Get thee behind me, Satan." Still stronger evidence that Jesus' reproof was pointed and pungent is found in his own words, showing the necessity for such forcible utterance when he cast out devils and healed the sick and sinning. If sickness is real, it belongs to immortality. If true, it is a part of truth. Would you attempt, with drugs or without, to destroy a quality or condition of truth? But if sickness and sin are illusions, the awakening from this mortal dream or illusion will bring us into health, holiness, and immortality. This awakening is the forever coming of Christ, the advanced appearing of truth, which casts out error and heals the sick. This is the salvation which comes through God, the divine principle, love, as demonstrated by Jesus. The truth taught by Jesus, the elders scoffed at. Why? Because it demanded more than they were willing to practice. It was enough for them to believe in a national deity. But that belief from their time to ours has never made a disciple who could cast out evils and heal the sick. Few understand or adhere to Jesus' divine precepts for living and healing. Why? Because his precepts require the disciple to cut off the right hand and pluck out the right eye, that is, to set aside even the most cherished beliefs and practices, to leave all for Christ. While we adore Jesus, and the heart overflows with gratitude for what he did for mortals, treading alone his loving pathway up to the throne of glory, in speechless agony exploring the way for us, yet Jesus spares us not one individual experience, if we follow his commands faithfully. And all have the cup of sorrowful effort to drink in proportion to their demonstration of his love, till all are redeemed through divine love. The Christ was the Spirit which Jesus implied in his own statements, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." His mission was to reveal the science of celestial being, to prove what God is and what he does for man. Truth's immortal idea is sweeping down the centuries, gathering beneath its wings the sick and sinning. My weary hope tries to realize that happy day when man shall recognize the science of Christ and love his neighbor as himself. When he shall realize God's omnipotence and the healing power of the divine love in what it has done and is doing for mankind. The promises will be fulfilled. The time for the reappearing of the divine healing is throughout all time. And whosoever layeth his earthly all on the altar of divine science drinketh of Christ's cup now and is endued with the spirit and power of Christian healing.
Let us now have a moment of silent prayer for our world. Let us sing hymn number 304. The words of this hymn are by Mary Baker Eddy. Shepherd, show me how to go o'er the hillside steep, how to gather, how to sow, how to feed thy sheep. I will listen for thy voice, lest my footsteps stray. I will follow and rejoice all the rugged way. Hymn number 304.
Thank you. the scriptures, in the book of James, chapter 4, verse 6, we read, "But he giveth more grace. Wherefore, he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble."
Let us now sing hymn number 264. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe. Forward into battle, see his banners go. Onward, Christian soldiers, marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Hymn number 264.
Thank you. will read from the Christian Science textbook, The Scientific Statement of Being, and the correlative passages from 1 John, 3rd chapter. There is no life, truth, intelligence, nor substance in matter. All is infinite mind and its infinite manifestation, for God is all in all. Spirit is immortal truth. Matter is mortal error. Spirit is the real and eternal. Matter is the unreal and temporal. Spirit is God, and man is his image and likeness. Therefore, man is not material. He is spiritual. Behold, what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because it knew him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man that hath this hope in him purifieth himself, even as he is pure. Peace be to the brethren, and love with faith from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.